big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffin-Daffer. Obviously, I am not at home. I am back on the road again, but happy to be here with y'all to discuss our primary case that we discuss, and that is the Nancy Guthrie case. Against Nancy Guthrie, 84 years old. She went missing on February 1st of this year. And let me get a picture of her up on the screen. Looking forward to discussing this today with you as promised. So have a really good show prepared, I think, looking back at another case of a kidnapped woman. And this really led me to the idea of doing a full series on the propositions that are being discussed and going through each one of them and why they make some sense and why they don't. And so that's what we're going to be doing. I'm going to start a series hopefully tomorrow. Again, I'm on the road, so it's a little bit dicey when it will be, but I'm hoping tomorrow evening, likely we will do another show to start the series. So this is what I wanted to discuss. I found a kind of interesting case, and no, the parallels aren't exact, but are the parallels more exact than we think? It's specifically regarding this woman. Uh-oh, one second. Make sure I have her up on stage. I do not. One second, please. I'm going to get her up on stage. Not sure why that didn't download. I was very excited about that, having it right here in handy. Stand by one moment. Huh. Not sure why she did not get up on stage. But I'm going to put her up right now. This woman's name is Gail Crane. Have you heard of her by chance? So this is a Kentucky case, and I found it very interesting. She was abducted from her home. When she was found, and she was found alive, she had swelling and so forth around her neck as if she had been violated around her neck. She was bleeding. She had bruising. And the reason I want to talk about her case is because when I saw this case, and to give you the exact details, again, this happened February 26th of this year. So it's a very recent case. It's out of Kentucky. And again, she's 83 years old. And what's interesting, I wanted to pull this picture up of Nancy Guthrie. Now, as far as I know, we don't have a more recent photo of her. This photo was taken in 2023, right? So Nancy was only 81 years old at that time. So a couple of years younger, but isn't it stark? Obviously, Nancy Guthrie did her hair, very finely appointed, you know, just when I've seen photos of her, and when obviously we've seen her interact with Savannah on the Today Show, she just seems so young when I look at photos and see other people older. Now, I will tell you this. My mom is 80, almost 81, just in a couple months. So I tell you, she does yoga. She was down on her hands and knees. It was insane. She was doing I don't do yoga, but the down dirty dog, something like that. She was doing all these poses. There is no possible way I could do any of those poses. And she's 81. Running in place, my father, my biological father and biological mom is who I'm talking about. Both of them. It's insane to see the differentiation between how age affects different people. When I look at Miss Crane, I truly see somebody just so grandmotherly and so frail. And I just can't imagine her being, you know, taken in a violent way. Again, when she was found, she was bleeding, she had bruising, and then around her neck, apparently there was swelling as if she had been constrained in some way around the neck. And again, looking at Nancy, this is Nancy when she was 81, 2 years age difference, but wow. She just looks so, you know, not grandmotherly, let's just say. But nevertheless, inside her, her organs, her, you know, everything about her, her skin, you can see her skin up close there. She was very frail, no matter how well kept and how well groomed and how important it was her to keep up appearances. You know, obviously she still dyed her hair at 83. I hope I'm dyeing my hair at 83. If it makes me look like this, I will. So I guess my point to all of this is that Nancy Guthrie is still extremely frail and vulnerable and susceptible to harsh treatment, as Miss Crane was. So when I started looking into this case, you know, I started pulling a lot of statistics because I'm seeing statistics float around, for instance, when it comes to the wrench idea. And the fact that, as I pointed out, there's 72 wrench cases, at least that we know of. A lot of wrench cases are resolved when the ransom is paid. The ransom is paid. It's paid right away. They get the person back. And, you know, nobody in the media is necessarily notified. Nobody in law enforcement. That is the way a lot of kidnappings are handled overseas as well. When I say overseas, I shouldn't say overseas. I should say in Mexico. Across U.S. borders. That is normal because the cartels follow through with what they say. If they say, if I don't have this amount of money by this date, then I'm going to, you know, lop off their arm. That's what they do. And then if I don't have it by this date, I'm going to kill the person. And then that's what they do. But if you pay, they give them back. It's a business. It's a quid pro quo. And the wrench situation is much the same. For those of you who haven't heard me talk about wrench attacks, I brought this up months ago now because I really think that this is a possible consideration. There was one, a wrench attack that occurred just in Scottsdale the day before on the 31st, right up the street. They're very, very organized. They're where the people who organized the attack are very sophisticated and they are they hire mopes, a mope, like a porch guy type mope to act out the crime. And a lot of these mopes, they're found on the dark web. They're not individuals that necessarily have sophistication, but they're greedy and they want to do a crime like this. Some of them are sadistic. You know, the case that I've talked about up in Scottsdale that happened the day before, very sadistic crime, tying these two individuals up, beating them, which is how wrench gets its name from a cartoon, beating somebody with a wrench until they got what they wanted out of them. I know a lot of people have dismissed this as a possibility. I certainly haven't. I think it's one of two possibilities. No matter what, I believe it was a kidnapping. I've said that from day one. This was an intentional abduction. That's what I believe from all the evidence we have. And this very intentional abduction, though, I don't believe was just orchestrated by Porch Guy. I know some people disagree with me on that. I believe it was orchestrated by somebody above him and that he is more of a mope in this situation. But again, we are going to do a separate show on each of the theories out there, and we're going to really dissect them. And I'm so excited to start the series. But I want to let you know why I received the inspiration to start the series on this case, again, on the case of Miss Crane. Again, she was abducted. For those of you just coming in, she was abducted from her home, 83 years old. This happened in Kentucky. Now, Miss Crane had dementia. She could not drive. So friends and family, when they discovered her not at home, they knew she had likely been abducted, that she couldn't walk very far. Doesn't this sound familiar? It sounds so much like Nancy Guthrie. Stayed at home, but Nancy Guthrie was certainly able to drive. So it's a bit of a different case. It's alike, though, in the case that people knew that there was no way Nancy Guthrie could, you know, walk out into the desert and somehow get lost. They knew it was an abduction. And like I said, without the FBI coming in and on day 10, being able to obtain the surveillance, surveillance video from that camera to see that there was an abductor. Isn't that interesting? I truly believe this case might never have been solved. And furthermore, I believe that it would have been, there would be even so much more speculation. And even with that video, there are people, and we're going to talk about it, not about the people, but about the premise that this is staged and that she wasn't even really abducted. So we're going to talk about those, and we're going to go through those, not in a way that is condescending to people who believe that, but in a way that really dissects what their position is and why, and what supports their position and what doesn't. So I'm looking forward to starting this series. Let's see. Karen Cartwell says, Chandler, Arizona, just south of Phoenix, another wrench attack a few days ago. Thank you for letting me know. I mean, you know, I know nobody had thought of these wrench attacks before, but it made sense because of the cryptocurrency that was being sought. And again, we have no verification that Savannah Guthrie had cryptocurrency, but I can tell you, I think it's a very strong possibility based on the fact that she was a multimillionaire. They're worth together over $45 million. And investors and so on, cryptocurrency is a huge thing to invest in, particularly Bitcoin, to be very specific. So I still think that this is a strong possibility. And the fact that there's another one now that's occurred, and I'll dive into that one. Thank you, Karen, for alerting me to that. It's just a possibility. And I think, you know, I know a lot of people have been asked about it, of my colleagues, and everybody keeps dismissing it. You know, it was funny because nobody even brought it up. And then after I started bringing it up and talking about it and explaining why it should really strongly be considered, slowly other people started talking about it, but most of them in a very dismissive way. And I'm not dismissing it at all. I still think that it's a strong possibility that that's why she was kidnapped. But I want to talk about why Miss Crane was kidnapped. Miss Crane was kidnapped, and this is what made me think about doing this sort of a series, was kidnapped in a way that is the most probable way, and in a way that the profilers and a lot of other of my colleagues think that this happened. And of course, that's proliferating out, right? A lot of people believe that this was done by somebody very close to her. And again, initially, that was a strong consideration of mine, and I still consider it a possibility, but no more possible or probable than the wrench attack. I think there's two possibilities here. And, you know, I find it very interesting that to dismiss something just due to statistical probability, we're going to talk about that too. For instance, how many crimes like this have been staged? And I will tell you, it's zero that have been staged for an 80 plus year old to be abducted in this way. But that, again, is for another show. We're going to dissect and go through them. We're going to go through the statistics on it. We're going to look at Tommaso Cioni closely. We're going to look at Annie. We're going to look at them as a pair. We're going to look at Savannah. We're going to look at Cameron. Because still, to this day, of course, many people are convinced And I truly believe it's in large part, not the sole part, but it's in large part because people are listening to other shows that indicate that. And I understand it. I mean, although it be subtle, there is no doubt that that is the message that's being conveyed from, again, what I don't watch those shows necessarily, but I certainly look at snips of those shows and things that my team works on to send to me. But this, we're going to discuss this again in large detail because I do very much respect many of my colleagues, of course. I also respect many of you, and this no doubt is something that's still widely believed, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about each theory in depth, and again, what supports it, what doesn't support it. But what gave me this idea was this abduction. And it's because this is the quintessential abduction that occurred in the same way that many believe the reason behind Nancy's occurred, right? So again, in Kentucky, she's at home. She's physically, forcefully taken. She's bruised. She's bloody. And the person who took her was her caretaker. Now, her former or caregiver, we should say. Her caregiver was in her employ until the day before the abduction. And at that point, she had been fired. Now, law enforcement has not released to us why she was fired. And I have a feeling that it's going to be something that is going to be very ugly. I don't know that for sure. There are no police reports that I've been able to obtain, but I believe it's going to be something ugly as to why she was fired. In other words, was she, Miss Crane, being cared for? Was she being neglected? What did friends and family find that caused her caregiver to be released? Her caregiver, her name is Rita Lang. And there are some complexities in this case, definite complexities. One of the complexities is that Miss Crane had Alzheimer's. She had dementia. So she wasn't in her full faculties in terms of being able to give consent or being able to give Miss Lang approval to do anything. And that is going to be a large part of this situation. Now, what do police have and what do they not have that shows that Miss Lang is responsible for this? Well, first of all, they believe they have motive because she was fired the day before the abduction. Secondly, Miss Lang took her when they were found over 3 hours away from where she resided, meaning where Miss Crane was residing. Furthermore, the physical injury on Miss Crane, the bruises, the bleeding, the neck. But I want to remind everybody, I'm going to put this picture back up and ask you to look closely. There is no doubt. And again, my papa is on blood thinners, has a pacemaker, and his skin is absolutely paper thin. I can hold his hand, and if I'm not careful, I'll cause him to bleed. If accidentally one of my nails, or I don't have big nails, but if they scratch him or something, he will bleed. And so, I want to caution everybody, but how it was posed was that this is far beyond something that was just, a skin type tear in that way. She was described as bruised, bleeding, and then with neck swelling, which to me, how I took that is swelling from having some sort of neck compression in some way. So she wasn't, although she was alive and breathing, she was injured. So that's part of their evidence that they're going to use. The other thing is, once she was found by police in Miss Lang's vehicle, in this SUV, and I shouldn't say it was Miss Lang's vehicle. I'm not sure whether it was Miss Crane's vehicle, although Miss Crane didn't drive, but they were found in a white SUV, and I believe it to be Miss Lang's vehicle. Miss Lang decided to take off, and I was hoping to have that footage. Let me see if my team was able to pull this part together in time. I know they worked very late last night on some items. So no, they were not able to pull it together. But nevertheless, she took off. She took off, and I wouldn't call this exactly a high-speed chase, everyone. It was more like the Bronco case and the OJ case, where they're just going slow, 35 miles an hour. I believe they were in a 25 mile an hour zone, so kind of speeding. But Miss Lloyd did not pull over. She took them on quite the little, I hate to even call it a chase, but police pursuit, I will call it that, for quite extensive period of time. And finally pulled over. And again, when they found Miss Crane, she was not in good health, let's say. Now, this is what's interesting about this. Miss Crane, who again suffers from dementia, 83 years old, she says she wasn't abducted. She said she went of her own free will. And of course, this is going to be very big plus for the defense. However, I believe, and you know, let me know what you think in the comments, but I truly believe that what's going to happen is once she gets up on the stand, if she's called to the stand, which I don't think she will be, so those statements will not be able to be used, that, and for those of you who have dealt with people with dementia, you can talk them into almost anything, right? You can say, were you taken? And then they could say no. And then you could say, were you taken? And then they could say yes. And what happened? And they could say, I don't have any idea. And then you could ask them again. They could say, oh, we went for hamburgers. You could ask if, did they touch you? And they could say no. And the next minute she could say she squeezed her neck. So she's not going to be a reliable witness. No way, shape, or form. She's not. So Miss Lang's contention, who was charged and is awaiting trial for kidnapping her, said she took her because Miss Crane did not want to go to an old folks home. And so she was sort of rescuing her from going to an old folks home. I think the crux of this case is going to lie with, why was she dismissed? Was she really taking care of her? Was she embezzling any funds? Because a lot of times caregivers have a lot of discretion with bank accounts and money. Was that involved? I don't know. I'm just offering up possibilities because the police haven't released this. Was she neglecting her in any way? Did they come in and find her, you know, laying in bed in feces or urine, this family? Or was she, you know, just sitting in bed? Did she have bed sores? Had she fallen? What was she really being taken care of? I don't know. All I know for definite is she was fired. Miss Lang was fired the day before, and then the day after she abducted her. And when she was questioned by police initially, when Miss Crane went missing, Miss Lang said, I have no idea where she is. I don't have her. I'm not involved. I don't know anything about it. So that's another issue with this case for Miss Lang, is lying to the police. You know, that was a problem. If she really was taking her because Miss Crane said, I don't want to go to an old folks home. Please take me, Rita. Take me so they're not going to force me into it. If something like that happened, that's what she needed to say, that we become friends. She asked me, she's here. Look, you can see she's fine and well, but that's not what happened. So why do I bring up this case? Why is this case even relevant to me? this case is so relevant, not only because we are talking about less than 1% of all FBI statistics involving abductions involve people over 80. So right there is a reason for me statistically to say, listen, let's just take a look at this. Secondarily, if you look at this case, this is a case where what a lot of other people are saying falls in line. In other words, that it's going to be somebody close to Nancy. It's going to be somebody who was in and around her midst, her caretakers or givers. You know, Annie and Tommaso, that's the big number one thinking. And that's what reminded me of this case. This is a case that falls in line with some of the premises out there. And that is that, of course, Annie and Tommaso or somebody close to the family is involved with taking her. And this is an example where that held true. And listen, there's many examples of that. There's absolutely many examples of the caregivers being responsible for the abductions. And that's why I think people are wanting to look in that direction. But getting back to the wrench idea just for a minute, people have to get with the times. I said this before, and you know, I'm about 10 years out of the Bureau. But there's people that are talking that are decades out of the Bureau. People who have never worked a kidnapping case in their life. FBI agents talking who have never worked a kidnapping case in their life. Now, they read about them. They read about them, meaning they study cases just like I study cases, and everybody, hopefully, that's a pundit, a talking head, hopefully they're studying these cases. But it's quite different to work them. And I only bring that up to say that I think that that is why sometimes the opinions regarding other possibilities are just shoved to the side, like the wrench attack. And in other words, something new. But we have to get with the times. There's cryptocurrency now. There was never cryptocurrency or Bitcoin when anyone talking it was involved. There's never not one person of anybody offering an opinion that has had the kidnapping of an 80-year-old, including myself. There's not one person talking that has ever had a wrench attack case that they've investigated. Not one person. So to just dismiss any possibility other than it being a caretaker, I think is short-sighted. And you know, sometimes things don't fall into statistics because new statistics are being made as we speak. But this is a case that holds true to what a lot of people are saying. And believe me, I'm probably 60-40. No matter what, it's an abduction. No matter what, it was a purposeful abduction, just so I'm clear on how I believe this case unfolds. But whether it's a wrench attack, a sophisticated wrench attack at the top, right? Sophisticated at the top, mope at the bottom. Or whether it is a caretaker, somebody close to her, somebody who is angry with her or angry with Savannah and wanted money because of that in part and hated this family, that being the motive. So really, we're just talking difference in motive. And I guess in really just in motive, you know, what spawned this attack. This is a case truly of a scorned employee that had just been fired, that kidnapped forcefully Miss Crane and was going to take her to who knows where and do who knows what. I would believe she was just going to exploit her for money, have her write checks, take her to banks, have her do all of these missions to get money. But nevertheless, again, the motive is money. In the case of Nancy Guthrie, I believe the motive is money. It was a kidnap for ransom that went horribly wrong. So I thought it was important to bring up another case that's going to go in that statistical evaluation in another statistical case for profilers and investigators to look at. How was this done? Is it comparable? What direction should I be looking at based on the number of 80-year-olds who have been abducted? And she's going to fall into that bank. So I thought it was important that we look at it, especially since it's pretty recently. Again, her fired caretaker, that is who has been charged. And again, she was found with her. She'd clearly taken her. The question is going to be whether Miss Crane went of her own free will. And that's going to be the question. So documenting all the bruises, the blood, where was she bleeding from, the marks or swelling on her neck, how bad was that? All of that is probably going to be the largest thing in play unless there's video. And I would believe, because we live in an age of videos, that you would think there would be video recording of her, maybe on a neighborhood camera or on a traffic cam or somewhere on this 3-mile journey, and the elongated time frame that she would have been with her prior to her leaving. So anyway, this case, the whole reason I bring this up is this case has really motivated me to do a deep dive into each of the different hypotheses that are out there, and to deep dive them in a very neutral fashion, looking at why. We're not going to dissect who says what, because, you know, that's just, my channel definitely is not a finger pointing, he's an idiot, you know, type channel. It's really deep diving their premise, and we're going to deep dive it and why it is not, or why it fits what they're saying, what the evidence might be, and then what evidence doesn't fit. And we're going to just kind of dissect that and then look at it in a statistical way as well. So I want to quickly take a look. This is a perfect day to take a look at the, yes, the two ransom notes are real. I believe they're real because not only did Savannah say they were real, but law enforcement's actions. Remember, right after the ransom notes, it was the day after the ransom notes came in, right after the day two. And then 12 hours later, TMZ gets a ransom note. And by the way, I have another show to do on that. There's new information there. There's new information now I'm finding out on this wrench attack. Believe me, I am going to be all over this, because for me, and I'm so glad y'all are on this channel. This channel just isn't about regurgitating, you know, stuff. This is about dissecting and looking into and investigating from background, from doing these investigations. What is happening? What's happening behind the scenes? Why do or why don't these different premises make sense? Let's see. What else do we have up here? Looking up here to see if there's anyone. Yeah, no, let's see. So this is true. The statement is no one knows who did this. There's only, or theories or opinions aren't facts. So totally agree with you. We don't know yet, but facts lead us to theories and opinions, right? You could take facts, and that's what FBI agents do. We take facts and then we develop probable cause that are the facts lead to a particular conclusion, right? They give us probable cause that this is probably what happened. And then we arrest people. And then those facts are presented to a grand jury to see if they also reach probable cause. And then it's taken to a jury to see if not only is it probable that this happened, but it's beyond a reasonable doubt that this happened. So that's what we can work with here. We don't have them all, but this is actually another show I need to do, is again about this Katie Pavlich interview. And it's really making me wonder a lot of things. I'm going to do that on a separate show. Gosh, I have like six shows lined up. I just need to quit traveling so I can do them all. Let's see. So Nancy, this honey says Nancy herself was supposedly low risk, yet she became a victim. Perhaps that will no longer be the case. Older people will become more targets because criminals' focus has changed. It's so true. Listen, these wrench attacks are typically perpetrated against older people because they are the ones that are investing in crypto, or they're the ones related to the people investing in crypto. Crypto is not going away, and it's a billion-dollar industry. I'll repeat this. In 2023, $1.2 billion was paid in ransom, in cryptocurrency. In 2024, 890 plus million was paid. And in 2025, from the stats so far, it's over 800 million paid. So this is how kidnappers or other people otherwise seeking ransom against corporations and so forth, this is how they want to be paid, because it comes and it goes out, it's quick and it takes forever to trace. It's like money in the old days. You drop the money and people get a hold of the money and they spend it all over the place, convenience stores, gas stations, blah blah. And now you're chasing serial numbers, and you finally get one serial number someplace, and you have to chase it backwards. It's arduous, it's hard, but we've had our Bitcoin expert on to tell us it's not impossible. Let's see. So some people still believe Luke Daly. We'll be discussing that one. Let's see. Zach, people are thinking Zach is involved. So we'll be discussing that one. Me see. Some people say they have multiple theories that make sense. Remember Derek Colella? I want to talk about him for a second. Derek Colella is the only arrest that's been done in this case. And Derek Colella, he sent two text messages, at least that we know of, to Annie and to Tommaso, asking for Bitcoin. He was promptly arrested because he's not sophisticated. He's one of these people that, in my opinion, lop on to these types of cases and see if they can score a quick buck. They're idiots and they're opportunists, and his time was very short. But what happened? He gets arrested, and then the next day he was released. So ridiculous, on a $20,000 bond, which means he had to post $2,000. So I don't know how we're supposed to take, I don't know how we're supposed to take the inclination of these horrible people that prey on people who have had relatives, who have had relatives murdered, relatives missing, and they try to extort money for information. And then we finally catch one and we let him out on $20,000 bond. I mean, I hope the guy gets 20 years. I'm not even kidding. I would love to see him get 20 years, 10 years for sure. Because we need to make a statement. We as a community needs to fire up, and we should want Colella's butt in prison for 10 years minimum for what he did to this family, and try to make a statement to all these other people extorting people with the Nancy Guthrie, on the Nancy Guthrie case, and many other cases too. Let's see. Let me see anything else. It's true. Elder abuse is very prevalent. And I have to be honest, I got to tell you that between, I mean, child abuse to me is just horrific. Elder abuse, animal abuse, there's no way to fight back. There's no way to, I mean, those types of people, again, put them in prison and throw away the key. Let's see. Seeing if there's any other questions or anything else up here. I'm just seeing amazing chat, talking back and forth to one another, talking about different theories. Exactly what you want to chat. So thanks all. I hope you come on as a play. I tell you, our nighttime chat is blowing up. About the 9 o'clock chat, and likely tomorrow, that will be the time. Probably 10 o'clock, I think, is when we'll be going tomorrow. I might even do another show tonight late, to be honest, because there's a couple of things I want to address, and I don't want to let them get away from me on this case that, again, either people aren't talking about or that are out there that maybe people just aren't noticing. I don't know. But anyway, we're going to be deep diving this from an investigative lens, from an FBI agent lens, because that's the only lens I have. And so it's not just talking about facts and regurgitating and talking about the streamers that were arrested. Yes, I did put something out about that. And I hope you all take a look. I want to really promote this if you guys don't mind. Every night without fail, between 1 and 3 instances a night, our team puts out these basically update blurbs. They're not longer than 3 minutes, and they're usually 1 to 3 minutes, probably on average 2 minutes. And it's something you can just click on it. It's on YouTube. We're getting them up now on IG. I don't put them enough on Twitter. I need to put them more on Twitter, at least one a day, probably on Twitter, maybe the nightcap. That's what I need to do. But basically, it's typically an update. One of those three has to do with Nancy. And we've got a lot of film footage that we dove into really deeply in terms of her when she was a child, her with Nancy, just to really get her face out there and to keep her out there in terms of the public caring. So I really, if you can, take a look at your YouTube. I don't know if it gives a notification for just a little short. Sorry if it does, because that means you're getting them three, four times a day when we do three. But take a look. Our goals are to have them out at 5 Central, 7 Central, and 9 Central by those times, if not earlier. So we do them in 2 hour intervals. And again, it's just a quick snapshot. For instance, on the Carmelo Anthony trial, we did several of those. Sometimes it's self-defense, just self-defense techniques. Sometimes, or a lot of times, it's on the Nancy Guthrie case. I'm not gonna, it's probably 75% Nancy Guthrie. And then we're doing some throwbacks too. A couple of throwbacks on Idaho. As you all know, I was so entrenched in Idaho. More than any case other than Nancy Guthrie, probably mimic each other. There was just so much more on Idaho in terms of public information, but there's still so much to deep dive into, in my view, on Nancy's case. I don't know about you guys, but I'm just constantly ticking. Oh my gosh, we need to talk about this. We need to talk about this. So I also have TikTok, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know the last time anything was posted on TikTok. Typically, my interns run that. I am working on an intern for this summer to handle that because my team is strapped handling a lot of the other stuff. But I really hope you can watch these little blurbs because they're pretty interesting, I think, especially like for me, they're not me talking like this. You don't even see me. At the very beginning, you see me for 1 second, just the, intro, which is very short. It's 1 second long. But what it is, all you will see are footage. You will see footage from different channels, mostly News Nation. Obviously, I love News Nation. That's who I work for. Up in the corner, you will also see, who we're giving credit to, And then text stream that comes across. So even though you're listening to my voice and a quick message, a 2-minute message about the situation, you will also see what was being said on the footage we show. So you can kind of, if your mind can go like that, you can be listening in the background to me, but also seeing what the footage was on that particular network regarding that subject. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know that I hope you guys are looking into those and watching those, because I really like those. We spend a lot of time on those after I get off, you know, obviously working on my cases. But when I'm not working on my cases, that's what I'm working on to try to get those out. Last night, I think we only put one out. All right. I'm belaboring that. So sorry. Again, for those of you who are members, if you're a $3.99, we keep our membership so low and we don't do anything where you can't, you know, we're big into wanting everybody to be a part of our membership community. So they start at $1.99. I think the most expensive is $4.99. If you are $3.99 member or above, we have a FBI basket that I've put together. On August 1st, we're going to have a drawing. We're going to get your address and we're going to send it to you if you win the drawing. And it's just a way for me to say thank you so much, how much I appreciate each and every one of you being here every day with us. And so, you know, I really just, it's just a small token. I'll probably do that once a year. Then we also have swag we're working on. There's just so much work. But we're definitely working on it. Let's see. That's really it for our show today. A porch guy, please continue to circulate his face and name. This show will continue to be about Nancy Guthrie, except for obviously when there's other big cases that come up. You know, one of the other cases that I've really followed closely was the Reiner murders. And that I will always stay on also. And there's many other cases. So we will always stay on the cases that you most care about. But we are definitely not going to give up and going to keep Nancy's face and name shining. Everyone, I want to thank you for being here today. Until next time, may justice be served for the Guthrie family and for everyone who has someone missing.